Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NGL Fincap Limited Q2 and HY FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining this Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of NGL Fincap Limited. The results and investor updates have been uploaded on the stock exchanges. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have with us today Mr. Rahul Nachne, Managing Director, and Mr. Rajesh Lawande, Full-Time Director and Chief Financial Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the financial performance, which will then be followed by the Q&A session. I want to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in our annual reports, which you'll find on our company website. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the NGL Fincap Limited second quarter FY24-25 earnings call. We appreciate your continued support and interest in our company. I am pleased to share our financial performance for the second quarter of FY25. Our revenue from operations reached 93.48 crores, marking a quarter-on-quarter increase of 3% and a year-on-year increase of 16.6%. However, as we navigate through this quarter, it is important to highlight that the operating environment has remained quite challenging. Despite the positive revenue figures, our EBITDA for the quarter was 11.56 crores, which represents a decline of about 17% compared to the same period last year. Consequently, our EBITDA margin stood at 12.36%, down from 17.4% in Q2 FY24. These figures indicate the pressures we are facing from increased competition and lower prices. Profit after tax for the quarter was 9.81 crores, reflecting a decrease of 6.35% year-on-year. This decline in profitability can be attributed to several factors, including soft demand from the European market and ongoing currency challenges in regions such as Africa, Latin America, and Turkey. The geopolitical tensions in the Middle East have also added to our operational difficulties, alongside several elevated logistic costs that have affected our supply chain efficiency. As a result, we are experiencing a market landscape characterized by high supply levels and subdued demand. On a more positive note, we are witnessing a strong recovery from China, which has provided a boost to our overall performance this quarter. Additionally, I am pleased to announce that we have received an additional certificate of suitability for a new project, bringing our total to three CEPs. This achievement underscores our commitment to expanding our portfolio for the European market. Furthermore, we now have four Tug Master files approved for the European markets and are actively working on four additional DMF/CEP filings, which we plan to submit by the end of this financial year. These initiatives are crucial as we aim to strengthen our position in global markets and cater to diverse customer needs. Turning to our capital expenditure plans, I can confirm that we are progressing well with our initiatives aimed at enhancing production capabilities and operational efficiencies. Our CapEx remains on track, with phase one expected to be completed by the fourth quarter of this financial year and phase two scheduled for completion by the third quarter of next year. While we remain cautiously optimistic about our future prospects, we acknowledge the hurdles posed by the current operating environment. Our commitment to navigating these challenges effectively is unwavering as we continue to focus on growth and operational resilience. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate that while there are significant challenges ahead, we are confident in our strategies and capabilities to overcome these obstacles. We appreciate your support as we work towards attaining sustainable growth, and delivering value to all stakeholders. I would like to open the floor for questions or any further discussions you may have regarding our performance or future outlook. Thank you.
So shall we begin with the Q&A?
Yes, please. We can start with a couple of questions.
We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you talk about how is the operating environment currently, or have we seen some improvement in the beginning of the second half? Sir, one thing on the gross margins, we have seen some recovery in the gross margins also in this quarter, you know, where they have increased from almost 48% in Q1 to 52, almost 50, touching 53% in the second quarter. So if you can talk about that as well. And thirdly, on the employee cost, there's been a sharp jump of almost 40% in the employee cost. So was it pertaining to the new expansion that we are doing? And if you can just talk about that as well.
Yeah, thank you, Ankit, for your questions. The current operating environment is challenging. We see a situation where supply exceeds demand in the market, and there are price pressures. But having said that, we have been able to maintain and guard our market share pretty well in this period, and that is being reflected in the sales growth, which you can see. Going forward, we expect the market to be remain in a situation where there is oversupply for at least the next few quarters. Unfortunately, I can't quantify how many quarters that would be, but we expect this to continue for a few quarters at least. Gross margins have definitely improved in the current quarter. We have been able to raise prices selectively for a few products, and that is what has resulted in this improvement in margins. But since this is just the first quarter, after feeling the pressure for the last three quarters, I would prefer to be a little bit cautious about this to see how it pans out in the future. We hope to maintain this going forward also at the same levels. With regard to employee costs, there is no great increase as such. It was just some arrears which have been paid during the current quarter, which is why we see this spike. Overall, going forward, we expect it to return back to the traditional level of about between 12% and 13%. I hope that answers your questions.
Sure, sir. Just one follow-up on this. Sir, I think we have reached an optimal capacity of our existing plant where, I think given our revenue levels, we'll be around 80-85% of capacity utilization. So the new plant is expected to come only during, FY27 will be our first year of full operations. So in the meantime, let's say if the demand revives, you were talking about some opportunity that we were looking on in terms of acquiring a small plant or debottlenecking and increasing our outsourcing. So any updates on the same, or given the operating environment which continues to be challenging, we are not looking for that?
No, actually, I would correct you that we are actually at close to about 90-95% capacity utilization in our plants, not in the range of 80-85%.
Okay.
Definitely facing a challenge going forward with regard to improving efficiencies. We continue debottlenecking plants as and when the opportunity arises. But we are definitely looking for to some inorganic opportunity where we can acquire a ready plant where we will be able to commence production within a time frame of between 6 to 8 months. So we are looking at such opportunities. Unfortunately, nothing is concluded at this particular moment, but we will update as and when such opportunity is, you know, closed by us.
Sure, sir.
In the meanwhile, we are also, if there is a return in demand, we will not let demand go unsatisfied. We will look for outsourcing part of our production. So we are actively looking at a combination of all these options, outsourcing plus acquiring, and we are on track with regard to meeting customer demand.
Sure, sir. Just one last question on the new upcoming plant. We have got 4 DMF approvals now, and you know 4 more are in the pipeline. So given that, you know, hopefully you know by the time we start our operations of the new plant, we'll have at least 6 to 8 kind of approvals for the European markets. You think, you know, the 6-8 molecules will be enough to, you know, like cater to, or we will be able to utilize the plant to optimal capacity by the 6-8 molecules, or we'll also need further molecules to utilize, you know, to optimally utilize the new plant which is coming up?
We have plans for a total of between 15 and 16 products which we want to register in the EU markets. Currently, we have got 3 CEPs and 4 DMFs approved. So there are a total of 7 approvals which we already have.
Okay.
7 more filings are commencing now and will go on till March of next year. So that will take our total to 11. And over the next 1 year, we will be filing for another 5. So the idea is that by end of 26, we should have approvals for at least 15 to 16 products in the EU.
Okay. So 3 CEPs and 4 DMS. So 7 approvals we have currently.
Currently, yes. As of now.
Okay. Thank you and wish you all the best. I'll come back.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Kiran from Table Tree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I have a slightly long duration question. Sir, if we look at the last 5 to 8 years, I mean, except for the COVID years, our gross margins have compressed. Not by a lot, but substantially by 500 basis points. So I just want to understand, is our product strategy different? I mean, we were in the 50 crore size molecule of veterinary, and has that changed? Has the product strategy changed substantially in our current revenue where the gross margins are lower because the competition is higher? What exactly has happened? Because the market size of our molecules, of course, many molecules, but 50 crore size, I am a little surprised on the gross margin compression, sir. So if you could just paint a landscape around the size of the molecules we are currently doing, is our product strategy very different, or have people actually so hungry for growth and they have come into the 50 crore market size as well?
Yeah, you've got a very interesting viewpoint to add over here, and you actually got it right with the last statement, that people are hungry for growth today, and even the smaller molecules are now getting interesting for them because they want to cover the market widely. Having said that, there are now quite a few more companies now which are actively engaged in the veterinary market, in the veterinary space. So we have seen, at least in the last probably about 2 years, at least about 6 to 8 new entrants in this field. Or in this market, because they see that there is a large scope now in the veterinary market. So supply is growing quite well. At the same time, demand is also growing, but supply has grown at a much faster pace. Until we see the supply-demand equilibrium forming again, there will be a continued pressure on the margins. And this decrease in margins is just because of competition currently. We expect it to recover. So right now, we have seen too many different factors coming into play in the last year and a half, 2 years. We saw the post-COVID debottlenecking. So the companies had to ended up with very large stocks, and they had to reduce their stock levels. Market growth had slowed down at the same time. Chemical prices went up drastically, so our raw material costs increased. During COVID, a lot of companies thought that the play in the market is permanent, and considerable capacity has been built during that time. A lot of unrelated players have also got into the market, thinking that pharma and veterinary manufacturing is very interesting. So we are seeing currently a scenario which is very different from what it was pre-COVID. And when you add the geopolitical issues which have risen in the last couple of years, together with the currency risk which a number of countries have faced, we are in a very different sort of space currently as compared to, let's say, 5 or 6 years ago. So margins are compressed more because of all these different macroeconomic factors rather than just the product mix which we are dealing with.
Got it, sir. Got it. Sir, then another strategy question is, from an animal health perspective, from Europe or US, of course, I heard your initial comments where we had a very good performance in China, but our primary, probably all the filings and the margins, good margins will probably come from Europe or US or any other Latin American countries. So from a strategy perspective, then, do we understand that the animal health competition in these regions where margins are higher, size of the molecules are higher, is much more than that in China or Southeast Asia? I mean, how are we targeting from a filings perspective? Just wanted to understand the overall animal health landscape along with the filings, how we are doing it, how we are thinking about it.
So any new entrant in the market can start selling in the ROW market because there is very little entry barrier to manufacture and sale. Whereas the entry barrier to enter the European and US markets is fairly high.
Right.
So the competition is therefore much lesser when it comes to Europe and US. So we are looking at basically moving up the value chain from the ROW market to the more regulated markets, wherein the business changes and becomes more long-term contract in nature rather than spot-driven.
Got it. And the supply dynamics in those two regions are fairly limited because of approvals required. Is that understanding correct? In the animal health space?
It is restricted as compared to the rest of the market, rest of the world. Yes, definitely.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. I'll join back in.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Naman Jain from Pioneer Invest Corp. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to ask if you could give some idea about the order book and the deliverables.
Order book and?
The deliverables. How soon do we plan to execute those orders?
Naman, we mainly work in the spot market. So our order book is never for the next 1 year or 2 years. We never normally have orders which are basically to be executed in the current month or within the next couple of months.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Naman sir, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Thanks for the opportunity again. So just, you know, carrying forward this question which the previous participant asked, that, you know, there has been, you know, increase in competition, you know, new entrants, around 6 to 8 new entrants have entered into the market. But sir, what we used to earlier, you know, when we used to interact with you, we used to highlight that, you know, for a 50-70 crore molecule, the large companies were not focused here because of their smaller size. So is it that, you know, even for such a small size molecules, the competition has increased significantly now?
I wouldn't say it's increased, meaning all of them are not in direct competition with us. They are probably, some are doing a different set of products as compared to what we are doing.
Mm.
But there has been a greater interest in the veterinary field, and we have seen the number of players increase. But at the same time, the number of players in the finished dosages field has also increased. So we see an increased market also in terms of players in the market, because in the end we are B2B. We are selling to other pharma finished dose companies, and we see an increase in the players over there also.
Sure. And this, you know, the have you seen increased competition? Like this 6 to 8 players, the new players which have entered the market, are they largely Indians, or the Chinese competition is also intensified now in some of the products, or new entrants have also come in?
See, China commands a very large share of the world API market, whether it is human or it is veterinary. So the Chinese are definitely far bigger than, have operated a far bigger scale than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there is an increased activity from China also. But in fact, a large amount of capacity creation has occurred in China in the last 3 years.
Sure. Okay. Some of the new molecules that we were working on, we have increased our product basket from around, you know, 17-18 veterinary molecules to almost 30 now. So, and we are planning to introduce at least 5 molecules every year. So some of these molecules, like the new molecules that we have entered, like as you have been highlighting in the earlier call, that the market size of these products is quite bigger than what we used to do. And the competition is also there from, more competition is also there from China. So in some of these new molecules, how has been our performance? You know, some of the products that we launched over the past 2 years where the market size was bigger and there was some Chinese competition. So how has been our performance there? Have we been able to, you know, take a decent market share there? How are the margins there? And if you can talk about it.
So I will just draw your attention to our investor presentation which we have uploaded.
Yeah.
If you see, top 10 products are accounting today for about 70% of our sales.
Yeah.
And so that means roughly about 20% are accounting for 30% of our sales.
Yeah.
Now, the sales pie as compared to last 2 years has grown by almost about 80 crores.
Mm-hmm.
And so these new products are also keeping pace in terms of the sales growth. So it takes for close to about 4 to 5 years for any product which we launch to reach its maturity in the product life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the actual growth starts only from the third year. And the third year to the seventh year is what we see as the rate where we see the maximum growth.
Yeah.
So these are all products which are actively contributing to our top line. And the newer products, especially the ones where we are doing more number of synthesis steps, are always the higher margin ones. So it's a combination of the old and new which add to our margins.
Okay. And sir, in the some of the higher revenue or the higher market size molecule, as you were saying that we're also looking at larger size molecules, has there been higher competition there as well? And are we, of course, the significant revenue from them will come over the next year or so, but how are the margins in this segment and how is the competition intensity over the past year or so in this new molecules?
Yeah, so the high volume molecules normally have lower margins.
Okay.
But they make do in terms of higher volumes. So these are typically, let's say, if you talk about a product like albendazole, it's almost 5,000 ton per annum product worldwide.
Mm.
But the prices are much lower for that. The margins in that product are much lower to some other product. So it's always a payoff between the volume in each product. So if it's a smaller volume product, it has higher margin because your batch and operating costs are higher in small volume products. So we haven't really made big inroads in those high value products yet right now. It's something which you have to work for in terms of building our higher capacities also.
Mm-hmm.
So once we are able to move within the next 2 years, our entire regulated demand to the new plant, we will be repurposing our existing plants to meet higher volume production also.
Sure. Okay. Then, since we have approvals for the European markets also, and I think we have our existing plant also can supply products to them. Given how the competition and the scenario is in the rest of the world market, are we intending to supply to regulated markets also now, given we have decent approvals for these molecules?
So our intention is to start supplying immediately. We have started the process of registering our products with different customers. Sampling has already started. The typical process is once the registration comes through, we submit samples to customers. They will first test the product to see whether it meets their specifications. Once the specifications are met, they will buy some pilot batches from us. With that, they will carry out their pilot manufacturing and then carry out stability and field studies. Once all these proceed in the right direction, then is the time when they can start actual buying from us. So from the registration to the actual sales coming in can be anything from 18 months to 36 months.
Okay.
Depending on the company and the market. And all our registrations are in the current year. So we expect that real benefits from these to start accruing end of calendar year 25 and more specifically in calendar year 26.
Okay. So they'll mostly be going from your new plant itself because the approvals and all will not come before that, before your new plant starts.
So we plan that even if the approvals come in 26, probably at that time we will still service from our existing plants.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to wait for the registration to go, and then we will also add the new plant as an additional site in 26. So then gradually we will at that time probably manufacturing both the sites, and gradually over a period of a year and a half move completely to one site. But we would like to keep the other site as a backup site so that there is always continuity planning available to every customer.
Sure. Have we also seen increased competition in the regulated markets as well, or regulated markets relatively have been untouched by the competition that we have seen in the ROW markets?
So for most of the products, typically there are already two or three registrations. We are going as a third or fourth registration in most of the products. So there is already an existing supply chain registration done in some products. In some products, there is only one registration. We go as a second alternative. For those products, it becomes easy to get customers. In the others, we have to present a very strong value proposition to customers to break in over there. But yes, it's not that as if there are going to be multiple suppliers, like probably 10 or 20 suppliers as they exist in the ROW market. Here, the maximum number of registrations which we have seen in any product is about 4.
Sure. Okay. This last question from my side, you know, in terms of gross margins, for a very long time, we had been in the range of around 55% to 60%. And last 2.5 years, because of the challenges we have seen, our gross margins have been below 55%. So any timeline or any view on when can we get back to 55% plus kind of gross margins that we have seen earlier?
It's a very difficult question to answer because there are so many different factors at play currently. And the future is very uncertain. So it's very difficult for me to answer that question.
Sure. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Kavish Ranka, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Kavish, your line is in the talk mode, sir. Please go ahead with your question. Mr. Kavish, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead with your question, sir. As there is no response from the current questioner's line, we move on to the next question from the line of Rupesh Tatia from Intel Sense Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes,
you are.
Okay. So my first question is, this Europe registrations you are doing, in 2-3 years, what kind of revenue, I mean, potential do we have from these new registrations in, let's say, 2-3 years?
Well, Europe is probably the second largest API market in the world in terms of regulated markets, the top one being the US. The market size over here is close to about $1 billion. It depends on us, you know, how we are able to penetrate this market and go ahead. But we are targeting personally revenues of close to about 150 crores over the next 3 to 4 years from the European markets.
Okay, sir. That is good to know. And what would be the, you know, margin differential between, let's say, ROW or our company average today and European business?
Yeah. EBITDA should be roughly double of what we are currently doing.
Okay. That is good to know. And for other question is, now current business, I mean, without, you know, Europe, US, current business, I think in the past we have always said that we expect to be in the margin band of 18% to 22%. Now, structurally, has that margin band now moved to, let's say, 12% to 16%? Is that a fair assumption to make?
In the current conditions, yes. If the conditions improve, we definitely see that this should the margin should also improve.
Okay. And then, sir, finally, a strategic question. So one is, moving into regulated is, I think now, I mean, we've been forced, or our hand has been forced due to situation competition in ROW. But what we see in larger pharma landscape is a lot of CDMO deals are happening, where a lot of, you know, innovator companies are looking for reliable suppliers from India due to China Plus One, due to some other things. And that is a much more, you know, stable and high margin business. So, I mean, I don't know if you have strategically started discussing this. Have you started, you know, have you seeded some team to look after this? How do you look at CDMO piece in animal health? Because we have very good chemistry skills. We are a very reliable supplier. So how, yeah.
The CDMO space is not something which you have explored currently. So I am unable to answer that. There is our first priority is first to get this plant off into operational mode. get our current registrations and start filling the plant with capacity over there. And CDMO is something which we are yet to explore, frankly.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Nachani for closing comments.
Thank you. Abhishek will be making closing comments, I think.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this call. Should you have any further questions, you may please feel free to reach out to us. Our email IDs are present at the back of the investor presentation. On behalf of NGL, this concludes this earnings conference call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of NGL Finechem Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines, ladies and gentlemen.